Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, we are going to do something a little different. Again, I'm not going to do something different every week, but rather than the readings and hymns for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost, you may have noticed that we are instead using those that are appointed in the hymnal for the Feast of St. Mary, the Mother of our Lord. And actually, if you look in the front of the Lutheran service book on pages Roman numeral 10, 11, 12, and 13, you will see on page, I believe it's on page 10, is the church calendar going from the first Sunday of the church year in the first Sunday in Advent all the way through Christmas, then Epiphany, Lent, Easter, season of Pentecost, which we are in right now, and finally ending with the last Sunday in the church year, which is the Sunday before Advent when the church calendar starts over. Pages 12 and 13, or Roman numeral 12 and 13, are the commemorations of the church for those special dates and for those special people that are especially those that we recognize and remember in the Lutheran faith, such as, I forget the month for it, but Henry Melchior Muhlenberg, who was one of the early fathers of Lutheranism in America, or else Martin Luther on November 11th. On page 11, you see a list of the saints and as well as festivals of Jesus, one of which for today is the festival for, or the feast for St. Mary. Now, we don't always celebrate these feasts and festivals, but sometimes they are a good way to change things up, especially when the feast day happens to fall on a Sunday. So for today, we are commemorating Mary, and thereby, we are celebrating her son. Now, if you looked at the sermon title in the bulletin, you may be tempted to ask, what's a Magnificat? Is it a really well-behaved kitten? I think there was actually at least one time after we adopted her that we talked about calling Cecilia our Magnificat. But no, Magnificat is actually a Latin word which means it magnifies or glorifies the first word of Mary's song in Latin. Magnificat anima mea dominum, my soul magnifies the Lord. So for today, we are going to talk about why Mary's soul is glorifying the Lord, why her spirit is rejoicing in God her Savior. The text of Mary's song may sound familiar, not least because we just sang it right before this, because this is one of the canticles that is used especially for the evening offices of Vespers or evening prayer, as well as the text for some hymns that we'll sing, the one that we just sang being one of those. And so, now, to get to a little context, we need to look a little before our reading at the Annunciation, which is when the angel Gabriel came to Mary in Nazareth and called her blessed, or highly favored of the Lord. Mary learned at that time that she was to become the mother of God. Can you imagine that? She was probably at that point 14, maybe 15 years old, a young unmarried girl of marriageable age. In that society, it was common for a woman to get married at 14 or 15. And so she is a teenager, certainly, when she is told that she would be a mother, and not just a mother, but the mother of the chosen promised Messiah, who had been foretold to Eve, to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, to David. She would be the mother of the Christ. She wasn't at that point married, but she was betrothed to an honorable man named Joseph. And this would change everything about Mary's life, about her upcoming marriage, about her future. The Messiah would be born from her body. That really is a significant position for Mary to hold in God's plan of salvation. We have to remember that. And so when we look at it in this way, we see that her words in verse 49, "He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name," those words absolutely are accurate. God did do great things in her, for her, and through her. Now, the key here is that the Lord has done great things for me. She isn't by herself important. It is what happens in and through her by means of God. She was there to hear Jesus' first declaration of who he was as the Son of God in Luke 2, verse 49, when Jesus, as a 12-year-old, younger than Mary at this point, is a... Mary in our reading, not Mary when... Yeah. When Jesus, at about 12 years old in the temple, turns to Mary and Joseph when they are a little upset with him for running off and getting lost at the feast in Jerusalem, he turns to her and says, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" I can imagine Mary standing there like, "I so want to hit you, but I really can't hit God." She also was the one who pushed Jesus to perform his first miracle when he changed the water into wine at Cana. Yet again, Mary plays the parts of Jewish mother just fine. "They're out of wine. What is it to me? Just do whatever he says." "Yes, mother." She listened to Jesus' teaching and was present for many of Jesus' miracles, up to and including being there not only at the cross, but at the tomb. In a very real sense, Jesus would not have come, not in the way that he did at least, without Mary. And so it was necessary for Jesus to be born, to live an entire human life, all the way from conception up to death. It was necessary for Jesus to experience every single facet of human life, every little bit of what it means to be a human like you and like me, up to and including the temptation to sin, though he was sinless. One of the greatest mysteries of the faith is the fact that God himself became a human being. And so Mary was indeed the mother of God. Now, just to be clear, there is a reason that we call her mother of God, but it is not because she is great in herself. It is because of the mighty work which God accomplished through her in that he became man. It is saying that Jesus is God to say that Mary is the mother of God. And of course, the greatest works of Christ, or the greatest works of God, were done through Jesus Christ. He became a human being like us in every way, yet without sin. How incredible it is to imagine God taking on our human flesh. In his earthly ministry, Jesus healed the sick. He taught God's word, exalted the humble, and brought down the mighty. He filled the hungry with good things. He raised the dead. All of these things he did as a true human being like you and I, and yet also true God as the creator and and preserver of the world. In his death, Jesus destroyed the division between man and God. Because of sin, we were separated, and yet God himself bridges that gap by becoming a human. He forgave your sins by his death on the cross. He exalted us through forgiveness, through the reconciliation with God, which he accomplished. He showed mercy on us and on all of those who fear him. And in the end, he rose from death in order to defeat death for us. And even today, Jesus continues his great work in and through and for his people. He proclaims his message of forgiveness and reconciliation through his word. He forgives our sins through the words of the absolution, which I just spoke at the beginning of our service. He feeds us with his true body and blood, as he will again in a few minutes, as he gives us his flesh in the sacrament of the altar. And he continues to rule over his people, over all of creation, by his divine power. All of these are the mighty works of God that he does through Jesus, his greatest work. And yet, that's not the end. He also does his work through you and through me. One of the reasons that we in the Lutheran Church celebrate and remember the saints is because they give us a model of faithfulness through their lives. Mary is an example of a faithful Christian woman who trusted in God's plan even when she was unsure of what it would mean for her. She was a godly, loving mother to her children. Any Christian woman can look to Mary and the way that she loves her children as a good, positive example to follow. In fact, Mary was called to literally bear Christ, but we are called to bear him in our hearts. When we bear Jesus in us, we think and act in accord with his will. We share God's word with those around us who need to hear it, just as Mary couldn't help but share the good news that God had done when Elizabeth greets her at the door with, "Blessed are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And yet, is Mary the only one whom we call blessed? Mary was called blessed because she gave birth to Jesus. But who does Jesus call blessed? In Luke 11, verses 27 and 28, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to Jesus, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But Jesus said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." It is not only giving birth to, caring for, nurturing, and raising Jesus that makes one blessed. You are blessed also by Jesus because you hear God's word and keep it. Mary was blessed by God, but she was not the only one blessed by him. You are as well. So Mary's soul does indeed glorify the Lord her God, who was also her son. Her spirit rejoiced in God her Savior, who would nurse at her breast. And so also for us. We also glorify the Lord our God along with Mary, the God who took on our flesh to become our brother, who offered his own flesh as an atonement for us on the cross. What a great privilege and blessing it is that we have to bring our God to those around us, to those for whom he came, and to those for whom he died. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.